everybody. I know you're doing amazing because you're listening to the podcast, and what a day it is. Today we're going to be running through the perceived reality versus the actual reality, things that have been going on forever. I did a TikTok on this recently, and by recently I mean probably last year, but late last year. It's more of feeling like a failure versus the reality of you actually winning. I cannot tell you how many clients that I have been speaking to as of late that we either jump on a call or we're doing a PT session or we're just talking through DMs. And they go, this is why my life is so shit and this is everything that's going wrong. And yet, when we end up finishing that call, they say, oh, things are actually pretty good. I'm actually managing incredibly well. I'm still seeing results. I'm doing amazing. Here's all the good things in my life that are happening. And it's crazy. 45 minutes before we either have the session or the phone call or whatever it's going to be, when we start that, they think their life is falling apart and they think that they're failing and they think that they're not doing as well as they should. The results are not working. Things are not going to plan. 45 minutes later, when we finish that call or the session, they go, it's actually pretty good. I just needed someone to point it out to me and to bounce off of and have these ideas with. So it's really fun to, I mean, for me, it's awesome to jump on these calls and not, in my opinion, not really do much, but ask the right questions to get them to the point that I'm trying to make of, okay, so it sounds like we obviously started on this and it sounds like you're doing pretty shit. Why do you feel like you're doing shit? Well, I didn't hit my calories over the weekend. I went over them a few, and then on the Monday, went over by a few hundred and tracked everything. I felt really bad about it. But then on the Monday, I'd put on weight and it feels like I gained the 600 grams over the weekend. And it feels like the 400 grams that I lost last week by tracking everything and putting in this work and going to the gym and doing all these things, doing all of that was a waste of time because I didn't lose weight. I'm up now 600. So I'm up 200 from what it was last Monday. Yet when I say, why do you think you've put on the 600 grams? Initially, of course, because I went over my calories because, you know, I failed and I did that and I've just put on this weight and it sucks. Okay. What type of weight do you think it is? Like, do you think it's fat? Well, it has to be, right? It's like, well, do you think it could be fluid retention? That is one of the biggest things that I run through for clients initially for how fluid retention actually works. How that affects your body, how you put on weight, how you put on water versus fat versus muscle versus everything. Because we have this umbrella of put weight on or take weight off, lose weight or gain weight. If we lose weight, fantastic. Hey, thumb up, everything is going the way that we wanted it to, love it. When we gain weight, oh my God, everything is failing, everything is going wrong. Let's bring it back for a second. Not only are there, well, the three main of building muscle, losing muscle, gaining fat, losing fat, and basically being dehydrated and being hydrated, fluid retention. Three major factors that are going in to what does the scale say. Then you've also got like bone density and other things like that. How much do your organs weigh? Fun shit like that. We are never really going to know exactly how much that is unless we get like a DEXA scan. Stuff that is way too expensive for everyone to just do that. And there's scales out there that say, hey, you've gained this much muscle and done this. This is your fat percentage or your water percentage. Those things are okay, but they don't always work. Take those readings with a bag of salt. An absolute fucking bag of it, a kilo of it. Having those things is really fun, but we're never really going to know. So not only are there the three major factors that go into what is the scale saying, it's basically just your gravitational pull towards Earth. That is it. You have, well, for me, 79 kilos that is basically forcing me into the Earth. That's it. That's the way that I say it. I just go, oh, okay, it's just a number. Took me a long while to get there. But anywho, one thing we have to go through, for example, if the scales go up and you end up feeling like a piece of shit and like you've failed and you have that perception or that perceived reality that you have failed, that you've screwed up, that nothing is going to plan or nothing is going right. When you have that perceived reality, it's good to park the bus for a second and just say, okay, I'm just going to stop right here. Because if I make an emotional decision right now, it's going to be bad. Most of the time when people make an emotional decision, it's usually the wrong one. What we want to be doing is making a decision from a logical place with the emotions in there as an extra added bonus of, I feel like it is the right decision. Excellent. If you have the means and everything to be able to do that, to dive into it. Sometimes, hey, yeah, like I've made emotional decisions in the past and they've worked out. Most of the time, they haven't. When I'm massively emotional, for me, it goes the opposite way. Being a guy, it's physical anger as to how it gets expressed. Not so much lately, but that's how it happens. I get incredibly frustrated, I get angry, and I hate everything about it, of whatever that situation is, and that's how it expresses itself. Not so much lately, because I managed to think things through a bit. But we want to stop, and we want to think about what is actually happening, what is going on. Is it just your perceived reality that is getting into your head and making you feel like a failure because of everything that you've done in the past that has been, I need to lose weight? And when that doesn't happen, you go, oh my God, I've fucked up. The reason I bring this up is because every transformation client has that moment, particularly in the first half of the program, where the scale goes down and they celebrate and it's all amazing, it's all this. At some point, it transitions into they're not worrying about the scale, they're worrying about how they feel. And that is amazing. In the first half of the program, when the scale goes up, they go, oh my God, I've fucked up. I'm not losing weight. I joined this program so I could lose weight, so I could do this and this and this. That's usually the point where I bring up their questionnaire and I say, says your primary goal here is to have a healthy lifestyle and teach your kids how to do this so that they don't have the experiences that you had growing up. Is that still the primary thing that we're after? They go, yes, it is. But, you know, I would have liked to lose weight. Perfect. Right there. Would have liked to lose weight. It was your expectation that you were going to lose weight by doing all these right things. And chances are you will, but just not right now. The actual reality of the situation is run me through Monday through Sunday what happened last week. I went to the gym. I tracked calories. I ate everything really healthy. Everything they say is absolutely spot on in what they were doing and what they were basically trying to do and achieve. Nailed it. Then, on the weekend, I had someone's, insert social event here, birthday, wedding, or caught up with friends, or did D&D, and it was a massive session. Who knows? That person could be anyone. Anyone playing D&D. That's the big thing for them, where they had a social event, and then they, like, had a pizza, or had a few drinks, or they just went out with friends and caught up. They had a really good time, and they enjoyed their life. But then when they weighed in the next day, or even on the Monday, they check the scales and go, oh my God, I fucked up. I can't believe that I just undid an entire week's worth of work to get to this point and have gained weight. Oh my God, I'm a failure. The perceived reality there is I gained weight, so I fucked up. The actual reality of that situation is, did you do everything that you wanted to do during the week? Yes. Did you track your calories and did you hit them pretty often? Yes. Did you have fun when you went out for the birthday, the wedding, the social event, the whatever it is? Did you have fun? Yes. Did you get to see families and friends? Did you get to do everything that you wanted to? Ultimately, look at your life and let's just put the weight gain aside for the moment. Is that the type of life you want to be living? How did you go with that? Did it feel awesome? Was it bad? Would you change anything that you did? And then it comes down to, no, I liked everything that happened this week. It was fun. I got to catch up with friends. I did this. When I go to the gym, I felt really alert and that made me feel good for the day. I felt accomplished waking up, particularly as it's getting into the colder months. I still got up and did it and I felt really strong and accomplished and I hit a PB and I did this, I did that. That is where they get into the actual reality of what's happening of here are all the amazing 99 things that happened in my life that are positive and that I love and that are awesome. However, the scale went up ever so slightly, or insert one tiny negative thing that did happen that was basically, if we get down into it, something didn't go to your expectations, which is again, all on you for your expectations. But we'll get into that in a minute. Something didn't go to your expectations, e.g. scales, or for example, because I'm not fucking writing an essay here. For example, the scale went up. Cool. So you had a really good time. You had a really good week. You did a lot of healthy things. You ate healthy foods. You moved your body healthily. You did some strength training. You walked the dogs. You walked with your partner. You made some decent meals and you spent time with family and friends. Amazing. Even if that were true fat loss that we are seeing on the scales there, Would you do all of that again and pay the price of gaining 200, 300, 400 grams of fat? If it were all fat, if we're just assuming that it is. It's like, well, I probably would change this or change that. And that's where they go, okay, well, I'd probably change a few things, or maybe at dinner I would have been a bit more mindful for this and that. But yeah, everything about it was really good. So I don't know what I would change if I could to make sure the weight loss happens. Maybe have less. And I go, cool, you don't need to do that. But we don't need to have less. We don't need to restrict ourselves massively in that. Because if everything is going to plan, or you're doing everything that you wanted to for the plan of the week, meal prepping, having healthy meals, moving, all that fun stuff, getting your steps up, all the good shit that we do, and you had fun during that, and you met up with friends and or family and or friend singular, whatever it is, you were really happy with your life and all of it was just spot on, amazing. We love it. That's what we want to focus on, the positives and the actual reality of the situation that, hey, you had a good week and you're doing pretty well. Then we get into the weight, we get into the scales. If it's up 600 grams, if it's up 1 kilo, 2 kilos, whatever, in order for you, and this is why I'm so calm when people go, oh my God, the scales have jumped up like 2 kilos. I go, how'd you do that? Did you track everything? Yeah. And I look at their spreadsheet and it's like, for example, 1600 calories every day, except for Saturday, which is 3700 calories. I look at that and then the 2 kilo weight gain. What goes through my head is not, oh, they fucked up massively, because we have an average calculator. Monday through Sunday, it averages out how many calories they had. Doing all of that, you know what? I'm going to do this right now. Let's do it right now, live, and bring this up. So if they ate 1600 calories for 6 days in the week, and then they had 3700 calories on that Saturday, that would bring them to an average of 1900 calories across the week. So every day they could have been consuming 1900 calories and it'd be about the exact same. That's why I don't freak out, because I know most of my clients have a maintenance or a resting metabolic rate, or a TDEE, total daily energy expenditure. Most of my clients have a TDEE, or a maintenance calories, of around 2000, or probably even a little bit higher, meaning they can eat around the 2000 calorie mark and not gain or lose any fat. It's dependent across the person, but it's usually around 2000. So if they have 6 days of eating 1600 calories and then a Saturday of 3700 calories, that puts them at the average daily consumption of 1900 calories every day across that week. So then in my mind, I don't see it as, well, you went over your calories by 2000. What the fuck are you doing? There's no point in getting angry, because it doesn't make any fucking sense, because it's not going to do anything. They enjoyed their life, they had fun. That is the most important part. But secondly, I know that it's not fat gain, because they've been in a deficit every other fucking day. What is happening is the body is taking time to digest it and figure out where it's going to go. What happened during COVID when everyone went to online shopping? Parcels were delayed. Shit didn't get there on time. Australia Post freaked the fuck out, and waiting times and shipping times went out the window exponentially. They grew like all hell. And we knew why it was there. We were still frustrated by it, but we knew why it was taking so long for the things that we have ordered to get here. We were waiting for processes and things to happen. We were also very scared that it was COVID and the world was shutting down. Me being a consumer, I understood it was going to take time for all the shit to get here, because the world was going into chaos. As someone with nutritional education, when I see that 3700 calories pop up on the Saturday and the client is freaking out, that's why I'm calm, because I know, hey, this is just one of those situations. It's going to take time to digest. It's going to take time to sort through all these packages and parcels and things. We are still, using COVID as the example, we are still going to deliver you your parcel. Right now, we just have a massive backlog of everything. We're trying to sort through it all and where it all goes. We're hiring more staff. We're trying to figure it out. Please just bear with us and be patient, because we're also dealing with this situation as well. And it is pure fucking chaos. That is like your digestion. When you have the 3700 calories, it just takes some extra time to digest, assimilate, and figure out where everything is going to go. You're going to bloat a little bit while the body just basically holds on to it. Australia Post are just going to have a bigger warehouse or more storage facilities to figure out where the fuck everything is going. And then they're going to sort through it. And then they're going to move on and obviously get back to normal delivery times. Exact same thing happens for your digestion. I am not mad that the 3,700 calories has happened, because I'm about to run you through what actually does happen. Using that analogy of Australia Post and the weight gain and everything, I run the clients through and I go, in order for you to gain 2 kilos, let's say, in order to gain 2 kilos of fat, that means that you would have to have, let me do this. In order to gain 2 kilos of fat, you would have to consume 15,400 calories above your maintenance calories. And if everyone has an approximate, and this is not, oh, well, my calories must be much lower than that. No, this is 95 plus percent of clients that I've worked with have had a maintenance of around 2,000 calories or slightly higher, or around the 2,000. It obviously depends on height and muscle and all that stuff. But a high majority of people, yes, they're women, have had maintenance calories at about 2,000. If you want to put on 2 kilos of fat, you would have to consume 15,400 calories above your maintenance. So that means you would have to consume, if you were eating 2,000 calories every single day, and that was your dead maintenance, and during that week, you had to eat to put on 2 kilos of fat. Across that week, you would have to consume 29,400 calories. Every day, that averages out to 4,200 calories. There is no fucking way that any client I've ever worked with is consuming 4,200 calories per day on average. So when the scale goes up by 2 kilos, I don't see that as a fat gain, because it's not. When it goes up by 2 kilos, the same thing I say to every client, and my transformation clients are about to go, yeah, he says this all the goddamn time. It's fluid retention. It's an anomaly in the spreadsheet. It's an outlier. It's going to come back down. And what they end up seeing is usually by that Monday that they weigh in and they go, oh my God, I'm freaking out. It's gained 2 kilos. It's whatever. By the Wednesday or Thursday, it's usually back down to where it was, because your digestion and your bodily functions have sorted through everything that is happening. They know where stuff is going. You've breathed out the extra fat that we're using, because it oxidizes and we breathe it out. And that's how we lose fat. We get heat. We get heat. Wow. We get hot and we breathe it out. Fantastic. We're losing fat. You would have also peed some of it out, pooed some of it out. You would have gotten rid of the excretions and gotten rid of the waste through that. It may have also gone through some sweat. It may have also gone through some going to your muscles and helping build and repair the processes there. It would have also helped with your brain activity. Essentially, you are fueled up as all fuck and ready to go. Meaning by the Wednesday, Thursday, your functions and bodily processes are helping you move through it all. So if you think across that week, or just on that weekend where the scale jumps up by 2 kilos, if it is truly fat, you would have had to consume nearly 30,000 calories in the week. And if you stuck to your deficit calories for 6 days in that week, and then you went up to 4,000 calories, and then now you're saying, oh my God, the scales, and I've fucked all my progress forever. The reality of the situation is that is not true. It is just blatantly untrue to be able to gain that much fat in that much time with that little amount of calories. That's not how it happens. Even if there were medical issues there, it would not be true fat. It would be a mix of a little bit of fat, mainly fluid, but then your body digesting, trying to get rid of all of that. Because if I ate a chicken parma that weighed 1 kilo and I put that in me, yeah, it's going to have to put that in me. Fucking hell, I eat it. Because if I put it in me, that sounds like it's going in the wrong end. And none of us want that, particularly if it's a parma. It's already not a good vision. We don't want that. Thank you very much. If I ate 1 kilo of parma and chips, and that would have to be sitting in my stomach somewhere digesting, would it be 1 kilo? Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. Mechanical digestion of breaking it all up and making it smaller. It's like blending it, basically. Would that still weigh 1 kilo? Yeah. Would some of it break down because it's already in the stomach, acid, and getting dissolved? Yeah, it's probably breaking down a bit. That all has to weigh something, and it has to go somewhere, and it's also going into our body. So it's not going to be a perfect representation of 1 kilo of parma into the body means we've gained 1 kilo. It's going to digest and break up and become something a bit lighter as well, particularly as we're already moving and burning calories, because even as I'm talking right now and moving my hands and arms around, that requires muscle, that requires energy, that requires movement, that requires the brain to be thinking and sending signals. All of this burns calories. very different rates. Muscle by itself burns calories. Fat burns calories because it requires energy to upkeep them. And when we don't have enough energy coming in, guess what? We end up losing the fat. And in very severe cases, the muscle as well. Everything about us requires energy and calories to be awake, to live, to function. Going over your calories doesn't fucking matter because you are most likely, if you've been in a deficit for a long period of time, fueling your brain and body to be able to get through the day. The perceived reality of what is going on there is I feel like a failure. I feel like I fucked up. I've done everything. I've completely wasted this week. And then when we explain things for what goes on, for what's the reality of the situation, when we get into the reality of the situation, it goes, oh, things are actually way better than I thought. That's actually really handy. I feel a lot less stressed now that I know all of that. And it is two things. First off, it is the education around nutrition, digestion, and how all of that works and the amount of calories that people have consumed. Obviously, I give all of that to my clients as it's happening to be like, hey, this is how the menstrual cycle happens. This is what digestion happens. And you'll most likely see in this week, keep doing what you're doing, blah, 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 blah. Coach them through that and then go, how are you going? Like, yeah, you're right again. Piece of shit coach knowing stuff. That's the first thing of having the education behind it to know what is going on. The second thing is having the mental or emotional awareness, either one, more likely mental, to not let yourself throw in the towel, give up, and go the fuck it all out mentality. That's the second thing of bringing awareness around it to go, I'm just going to stick with it. I know that this is happening because of the education that we got previously. So I'm just going to keep doing what I do and see how it plays out. So there's two things in there. We need the education to figure out what the fuck is actually going on. But then we need the mental awareness to call that out and use that education to go, okay, this is what Trav was talking about when he said the scales were going to jump up. I'm just going to keep doing what he said. I'm just going to stick on doing the normal things and focus on things that make me feel good and see how I feel in a couple of weeks. By the end of the week and take it from there. When people get those and they pair them together, they're unfucking stoppable. Because all of a sudden, the emotional response to that is not, oh my God, and losing their shit and changing everything, restricting calories, juggling it, going and doing more cardio, going to the gym and trying to burn off as many calories as you can, like the burn it to earn it mindset. We start moving away from that into, that's a bit weird. I wonder why it's done that. Oh, I'll just keep doing the things that make me feel good. And by the end of the program or whatever time that we have together, doesn't have to be 6 months. A lot of people are doing more than 6 months because we have trauma. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And we have to work through that together. So, my God, if I went to therapy and I said, hey, I'm paying for 6 months of therapy up front and I want every week, this is what we're going to do, all right? And then I wasn't fixed by the end of that 6 months. Like, yeah, I'd be a bit annoyed, but at the same time, I'd be like, oh my God, that dude opened up so many fucking cans of worms for me. I'm feeling better, I'm changing my life, but holy fuck, there is still a lot to do. And then probably stick around, maybe dial it back a bit, but then say, okay, how do I keep working through these things while doing everything else on the back end? So just to put it in perspective for people. So the perceived reality versus the actual reality. I don't want anyone to feel like they're completely fucking up, like they're a failure, like they're doing the wrong thing, because most of them aren't. It just takes the right questions at the right time, not even at the right time, just the right questions to get yourself out of that funk, to keep taking action on the things that you want. The big reason why a lot of people sign up is, yes, they want to lose weight, but they don't want to prioritize it. But all their belief systems and previous examples of where they got praise from or where they got love from or where they felt good in their body was when they were at a lighter weight. So they do want to lose weight, but they don't want to focus on it because every time that they've done it, it's made them feel like shit. It's been unsustainable. They've burnt out. They've become tired. And they've usually end up gaining the weight back as well. So they want to find something that's more sustainable, but they don't want to do the same things they've done in the past. But at the same time, that's all they've got the experience of. That's all they know how to do. Doing things that are new and uncomfortable and that make you feel completely scared and trying to trust a brand new process to be like, no, trust me, this works. It's like, yeah, but it goes against everything I've ever done, ever. I get that it's scary. I get that it would be like, oh my God, fuck, what do I do? How is this even going to work out? Because I've done multiple different things in the past, and they've all gone against different belief systems. The first thing is letting go of your belief systems, if you can, and just working through it to say, well, this is what I want, and I'm just going to have to commit. I'm just going to have to do it. It's going to scare the shit out of me, and I don't really want to do it, but what's the alternative? Like, what am I going to do? Am I just going to sit here and just have this business that does this forever? That'll fucking kill me. I can't be bothered. Am I just going to have this body that looks like this and does this? No, that annoys me. If I've asked this question a few times before, but if you take your life and everything about it and how it is currently and the current path trajectory that you are on, in 5 years' time, if nothing changes other than the trajectory that you're on, whether that's positive, negative, or neutral, you're not on a trajectory, you're exactly where you are. If nothing changes in 5 years' time, would you be happy with that? If the answer is yes, amazing, keep going. If the answer is no, then change. Do something about it, because you have that ability. You've almost looked into the future and said, fuck, if this is my life in 5 years, I'm not going to be happy with that. I'm going to be, what will I be? I'll be 34, 35. Well, I'll be 34 in 5 years' time, in exactly 5 years' time from today. I'll be 34. And if nothing changes about my life, would I be happy? I'd be happy, but there's a few things in there that I would be not regretful for, but I would like to take up the opportunity to do a few things during those 5 years' time. However, those things are not dependent on my lifestyle. The other things that I want is not dependent on my lifestyle. Fantastic. I don't have to change my lifestyle, because if it changed, or if in 5 years' time I was exactly where I was in terms of lifestyle, the trajectory that I'm on, I would love that. That would be amazing. In terms of changing a few things, yeah, I would love to change a few things in just every regard, for business, for car, for house, for renovating a few things, for doing things, whatever. I would love to have more money. Same as everybody. I would love to have more money. In order to do that, though, is exactly what I'm doing at the moment, of coming up with different programs, different value adds, different things that I can do to enhance the fitness genie to help more people to then have a higher income. But I know I'm not going to do that this year, or probably even next year, because I'm going to build all these things and give myself the minimum wage that I can to be able to afford to live. I'm going to do that for myself while building everything on the back end. And then when it hits a point where I go, yeah, you know what, I need to start doing X, Y, Z, then I'll start taking a bit of money. Then I'll reward myself later once it's all built. That's what I'm going to do, just to let you know. The trajectory of my life in 5 years' time, I like it. So that doesn't mean I'm not going to change anything. It means I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, because the trajectory is taking me up there. If I stop doing what I'm doing, then hey, the direction that I'm going changes. But I have to keep doing what I'm doing to get to where I want to go. And I'm fine with that. But there was a time in my life where I looked at it and I said, in 5 years' time, if I'm the exact same, what's the fucking point? Why would I keep going if it's just more of this? It's horrible. And that actually sparked me into taking action. Like, life has to be better than this. There's got to be something more than this. Everyone's just telling me this is what it is. Go to job, pay your bills, come home. I appreciate the simplicity of it, but that's not for me. I fucking hate that. And I would drive myself crazy just from doing all of that and trying to find dopamine from different sources and different things. And I'd probably end up doing things that I don't really like just to get through the day. I like where I am now, and I like that. So, yeah. It's crazy the amount of people that jump on a call with me and they go, life's fucked. Here's how bad everything is. And all I'm hearing is, I was able to manage some things. I did this. I spoke to this person. I did this. This is not just like one or two clients that I'm talking about. This is every client that I have at the moment, where it's like, here's all the things that are fucked. Oh, actually, yeah, no, by the end of it, it's actually been a really good week. It's actually pretty damn good. It's like, amazing. That is what we want. Just to pull yourself out of the perceived reality of how you're feeling, because it goes against maybe particular belief systems that you used to have, and just getting into the ones now of how do you feel now? What's the reality of the situation that is happening? So, yeah, I've got some things written down. What have I got written down? When people think they've fucked up by going over their calories because they saw a jump in the scales the next day because they've been underfed for so long. If you basically, if you've been in a deficit, I've already said all this, but if you've been in a deficit for so long and then you even eat at your maintenance calories, you will see a jump in the scales. The main reason for that is your muscle, your muscles and your organs and your brain. They are trying to preserve as much of that as possible. They're basically rehydrating and re-plumping and re-energizing everything that is in your body. So if you woke up in the morning, had breakfast, and, well, basically, if you woke up in the morning and went straight to the gym, your first heavy lift is going to feel the hardest because maybe you're not warmed up. That second one, you have the most, well, the first and second one, you have the most energy of the day because your body has stored and replenished everything and you have 100% of your muscle capacity ready to go. All the energy and everything that is in there in those muscle fibers are ready to go and to contract. As the day goes on, even if you're not going to the gym or exercising, as the day goes on by just getting ready, doing your hair, doing your makeup, putting the washing out, going to the car, coming back because you forgot your water bottle, getting back into the car, driving to work, listening to a podcast, doing work, climbing the stairs, everything that you do in there slowly depreciates and depletes the amount of available energy that you have physically and mentally. That's why a lot of people, when they go to work out in the afternoon, if it is not a non-negotiable to be like, oh, I do this and then I go home, it's just a part of my work day, basically. If it's not a non-negotiable and they think about it, they go, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, this came up at work and it was kind of stressful and now I just want to get home and do this because the energy is being depleted across the day. So when you get to the gym and if you're taking pre-workouts, that might energize you enough to be able to lift and do the things that you want to do and have a really good session. It might fuck your sleep up for a little bit, but hey, we don't talk about that. Well, I do, but the morning is when you have the most available energy to yourself. And sometimes it may take you a little bit to wake up and to become alert, but that's when you've got the most energy. If you've been in a consistent calorie deficit for a long time and you go to your maintenance, that's basically what's happening. Your body is just saying, hey, there's more nutrients available here. We're going to store them in all the muscles and all the things. We're going to build what we can with these resources. Basically, if your business or your town, let's say your town got gifted, and for some reason, this is going to be some sort of like actual political structure that actually works. If your town got given $1 million and they said, what do you want to spend it on? And everyone had their feedback. And for some reason, it was like, this is going to be the best thing for the town. If we put I don't want to say Coles or Woolies, if we put a grocery store in there that was small business owned and this and that, that would probably be best for the town. Clear out the land, buy the land, build it, develop it, do stuff, and then we will give it to some people or they can buy it off us for whatever. That's going to be best for the town because now we actually have a central piece that we can get groceries from. We don't have to travel 30 minutes away to go get it. Excellent. You've had $1 million and you've immediately spent it because that's what's going to be best for the community to be able to be constantly fed and replenished and all that fun stuff. We now have grocery stores here. However, if you had that $1 million spaced out across 5 years, maybe, you don't even know if the $1 million is coming in 5 years, but if you made $1,000, if you made $1,000 a day, which is $365,000 a year, in about 3 years' time, you'll have $1 million. Do you really think across that time, you're going to go, I'm going to forecast for the next 3 years and let's build a grocery store? No, it's going to be, we've got 365,000, or for today we have 1,000. What are we going to do with it? Well, we can't build a grocery store. We can't do this. We can't do anything amazing. So what I think we do is we either store it away or we use that for the plumbers of the city. We use that for the electricians. We use that for the people that are going to help basically be the civil servants and keep the town healthy. So when you've got $1 million though, you spend it on different infrastructures. What happens there? When you're in the calorie deficit, you spend all the available energy that you have, $1,000 a day, of just trying to get by and trying to do the things that are going to keep the lights on. When you have an influx of energy or you have more calories coming in, you have a maintenance day or a high day or a refeed day or whatever, the body goes, oh my God, sweet, we've got $1 million. Let's build a grocery store while it is there so that we can be replenished and do this. It's going to take the extra energy, put it into all of your muscles and be like, oh my God, thank fuck, this is all here. The good thing for that, you will have more energy, you'll feel more energized and your body will actually use it for good things. But the scale will jump up because it's going to think, oh my God, and the scale is just going to go up a bit. because there's more calories coming in. There's more fluid. There's more hormones. There's more everything going through your body that's going to take time to digest the things that are going on. So it's not you gaining fat. It's your body just saying, oh my God, thank fuck. Let's reinforce this as best as we can so that we can use it for energy later. So yeah, the menstrual cycle also plays a massive part of that. A big thing that I did, I think it was a TikTok, but then it was also a podcast that I did last week with the aldosterone. You're bloating and then aldosterone comes in, makes the bloat even worse. And then you have slightly higher calories or about your maintenance period calories. And that is where, oh my God, I ate 2000 calories. I can't fucking eat 50. I can't eat 2000 calories without gaining heaps of weight. Oh my fucking God. That's the perceived reality again of, hey, there's actually the menstrual cycle and the food and this and that and all the hormones and everything that comes into play. But we don't obviously see that. We just see this, boom, I ate this food and this amount of calories and the scale went up by 2 kilos. What the fuck? Again, bring it back to the education. If you were to gain 2 kilos of fat in that week, you would need to consume 29,400 calories across the week, which is just over 4,000 calories per day for 7 days a week. I don't think you gained 2 kilos. I actually know you didn't gain 2 kilos of fat. But the fluid retention in the scales will make you think it. So yeah. Hope that all helped. Hope that was all amazing. A little bit of a shorter one, but still 36 minutes. We love that. Hope this was amazing. Hope it was all good. We have Laura's Your Mindful Movement that is out right now. It is evergreened, which means you can buy it whenever the fuck that you want. The only thing you will have to be careful of are the VIP spots because they are limited to 10 people. So we have 4 VIPs at the moment that are working with Laura, which means obviously do the math. There's 6 people or there's 6 spots available for VIP of Your Mindful Movement. Buy it whenever you want. There's a link in bio. That link in bio is going to explain it a hell of a lot better than I ever will. It is about creating mobility, length, strength, and connecting with yourself and your body and how movement can actually drastically improve anxiety symptoms, your mental health, nervousness, and it can help clear up a few things in your body and move through a lot of emotional blockages just from moving your body. Laura is amazing at teaching all of this stuff, which is why I'm hesitant to try and like, hey, this is what it is. Because just getting in there is going to fucking change your life. If you're more open to doing unconventional moves that are not typically seen in the gym, they can be in the gym because obviously we need the weight for it, but my God, it's a very impressive program and you should get around it. Check out the link in bio or just go to our website, www.thefitnessgenie.com.au. Obviously, that's all one word, The Fitness Genie. And then up the top, we have a nav bar now. So you can click the little drop-down thing and it will have Unfuck Your Self Transformation Program. Underneath that as well, we'll have Your Mindful Movement. And you can check out both programs, see what one's for you. Your Mindful Movement, you can sign up whenever you want. Transformation, we will have to have a call before we jump on to make sure that obviously it's a good fit and it's actually going to work for you because I would hate for you to sign up and then be like, hey, this is fucking awful and way too much work and I don't want to do it. We want to make sure that you're actually ready to work on your emotions and your mindset and all that fun stuff. But chuck through an inquiry on the website. We'll just email you and say what is going on and take it from there. If you love the podcast and you want to do your bit to help other people find the podcast that may not yet know that we exist or that this podcast is a thing and you think other people are going to benefit from it, it would be amazing if you could just leave a review or share it or just do something that will take you 5 seconds, honestly, just liking it wherever you get some platforms lay to like the podcast. Others, you will have to leave a review, but following as well. A lot of people that do listen to the podcast are actually not following, which is surprising. So if you like it and you've been listening to them, consider following. And if you want to make sure that other people are seeing it, give a review as well. They're the only 2 things that I will ask. It'll take you 5 seconds, takes you 2 seconds to press a button that says follow, but it will take you another 5 seconds to go into wherever it is you are. Leave a 5-star review. Let us know what was going on. If it's a 4-star review, you can keep it. But yes, I hope this has been valuable. If there's something particular that you would like to hear, DM me on Instagram at The Fitness Genie and let me know. I'm more than happy to do Q&As and answer them as best as I can on the podcast here so that you can get more value from the podcast. But yeah, enjoy the rest of your week. I'll speak to you all soon.